This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
So 2020, he did 120K. His goal, he wants to increase net income to 300K.
Why?
It's a good question. I'm Steve right now.
You're the person's not here?
No. Okay. No, yeah, this is...
I mean, just because...
They're on the internet.
Cool, so I've heard of it. I think this is a good point for everybody in the room. I think right off the bat, the reason I jumped in there is that sentence is the most dangerous part of the question. Arbitrary numbers of just acceleration, I understand that people are motivated by that, and I think we all have different DNA, and I think that you have to respect those context points for individuals, but I do believe that arbitrary numbers of growth, people take too literal and start doing all sorts of bananas shit to just hit the number that may hurt them the next year or the year after. And in general, I tend to get a little weird when people just have, you know, it's one thing to say, I want to grow, and I want to grow in a meaningful way, whether it is financially. For me, if we're talking real businesses, which was so much of what excited me to be here, like I love the practicality of an actual business, not a financial arbitrage machine. You're normally playing long. Like it's your family business, it's your business. Most people aren't thinking about when they own a company of like, okay, I'm out in 2 years and I'm gonna, you know, be on a island and get a private plane. So to me, that's an interesting little variable.
Like, is it 300K because you want to put your daughter through college? Is it 300K just because you made up a number?
The 300K was easy to understand. The 77 to the one, like it was a logical kind of jump. And there's multiple questions in there. Why not 630? You know, what about more profitable at $1.95 from 177? What about 210, but no profit made because you hired three more people because you're gonna go to a million the year after? Like, it's fascinating for me about that part, but keep going. I just use that as a proxy to try to bring as much value in this talk.
So the biggest challenge continues to be getting prospects to realize that they might be giving away thousands of dollars. That's number one. The second one, this one's interesting, I feel like I have fun with this, is the egos of these CFOs and whatnot that
I
say,
that's right.
We're already doing it right, thanks.
I think that's right.
Rick.
Thanks, Rick, I agree. So, couple things that I think might help some people. This has been a huge factor in my career, I've come to realize. I think it makes no fucking sense to try to convince people that are not convincible. I am fascinated by this obsession to like get the deal and just keep like the inkling of a no to me and I'm out. I'm out.
Not worth it.
Not worth it. The time isn't worth it in a world of so many. And so for me, this is a game about not convincing, which people fall in love with convincing. This is a game of conviction. He's right, by the way. As somebody who probably has some of that ego when I first heard about it in my 20s, like I'm in my, you know, people are gonna struggle with that. The business model's super interesting, right? They only get paid if they do the work. So it's like, to me, this is about him building awareness. My preference is LinkedIn organic content. It's not quite TikTok, but LinkedIn organic for this room is gold. And nobody's posting enough on it. You know, I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is in there. So he needs to build awareness.
So what would you do? You bought his business.
I would probably do 40 to 50 pieces of organic LinkedIn content a week, and then another 40 to 50 paid LinkedIn ads to the general area where we were. If let's say we were here, I would also stand up a weekly podcast show called You're Wasting Money, and so that I could film that so that I could make the ads out of it. So I wouldn't even care if we only had 7 people watching at first. I would want the content from the 1 hour show where I would interview a CFO or somebody from the industry or a legend in procurement or my aunt or whatever the fuck it starts with. And then I would use the content from that to run the ads. So the podcast is almost a proxy to my ad content needs, because one of the great misunderstandings of the modern marketing ecosystem is that it's the creative that's the variable of success, not the money you're spending on it. The media plan matters tremendously, but the creative is the variable. And the more at bats you have, so many people here gave up on Facebook and other things because they said it didn't work. What didn't work was your ad sucked. platform's working just fine, that's why it's doing trillions. You suck. You know, like that, and that's the part that people are like, oh, Facebook sucks. Yes, Facebook sucks. Like, it's a very ego game. You did 3 ads. Whoever's closest to the consumer always wins. And is always your vulnerability if you're not that person. So the thought of being reliant on anybody else doing the selling for your product is so scary to me. And a lot of these companies, obviously COVID was such a left field thing for this business. However, those businesses, and I've seen a lot of these businesses, sometimes one salon group is 73% of their business. And then a private equity firm comes along and buys it, who also has a cosmetics business, and they lose the account, they're out of business. So look, I mean, being in the B2B wholesale business and then deciding you're gonna be a consumer-based, direct-to-consumer business is like literally going from being a penguin to a giraffe. They're completely different businesses. However, that is the answer. The answer is, everybody's about to understand with the advancements of the internet and definitely the emergence of blockchain and NFTs that anything that sits in the middle of somebody buying it and the actual thing is vulnerable, and if you're the thing that makes it, you're going to need the person in the middle less and less over time. What technology does is it shrinks the middle. It's doing it everywhere. It did it with bookstores, it did it with taxi cab service. Like, it just, this is what's gonna happen. So.
But they're probably, I mean, they're the manufacturers, so they are set up to do this well, right?
The problem they're is, not just it's, the brand. It's great in theory. But selling to like, doing a B2B business call and selling to like 3 people is very different than trying to get the whole world to buy your product. You know, so cool, but now you're competing with L'Oreal and, you know, Elf Cosmetics and, you know, Procter & Gamble and Sephora's private label and Ulta's private, like cool, it sounds good, but it, for anybody here who's in manufacturing and the thought of going to direct to consumer, it's just literally a different business. Comma, it is the only way you're protected. There should be no businesses today that are producing for a private label or for other third party without standing up their own direct to consumer business. It's just too important. It's like not having life insurance. And so what does that mean? That means investment. That means you have to learn how to do Shopify or Amazon, how to run ads on social networks. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always the same game. What is the underpriced brand building or sales driving ecosystem? Let me give you an example. Do you know why so many people are called ABC Auto? Because the arbitrage in the 70s and 60s was having a name with an A in it for the yellow pages, right? Like I don't think people understand. This has always been the same game. It was just that the yellow pages mattered the most when you bought shit or needed a service. So people literally change their name from like Tony's Air Conditioning to ABC because you know you show up first. That was the ARP. That's why you see so many of those trucks through the years. So there's direct mail, local television. Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola became who they became because of television ads. They were better at it and went harder at it. Amazon is the biggest company in the world because they were the number one spender on Google AdWords the first 6 years of Google AdWords. That's how they built their company. They outspent the number 2 player, eBay, 10-1. They understood that they had, you know, I'm not a poker player, but you know, you have the hand where you know the math, like you got the hand. That's what they did, and they went all in. And my career has progressed because I have pattern recognition around that, and every time I notice the moment, I go harder and stronger each time. So for cosmetics, 14 to 30 year olds live on TikTok, live. The organic reach is absurd. First video could get 2 million views. Could. Like, so Elf Cosmetics is something that company should Google and understand what they've done for the last year. They've exploded on the back of it. So TikTok would be the answer for me if we're going that granular. And micro influencers. I still think when your business went from 5 to 250,000, you are required, if you want to save it, and it's on life support, to lay in bed for 6 hours and DM 650 people every night and ask them on Instagram if they're willing to post it, if you send them product, and if not, how much does it cost? And literally keep doing micro deals until your eyes bleed. Or go work somewhere, because your business is in trouble.
That investment is time at that point.
We all have either time or money. So I'm shocked by people's non-interest in allocating time. So much of what's been good for me has been my willingness to allocate time. Time is a true asset. Intent of like that matters. So I would do podcasts weekly. I would, the best part of having a podcast is you invite people that you want to be customers. It's a lot more fun to email a CFO in your local area through LinkedIn and say, I would love to have you on my podcast to speak about your financial expertise versus emailing her or him and saying, I'd like you to use my company to do business. So now you're doing a rule that I live by, which is called the high school house party rule, which is the kid that was lucky enough in high school whose parents constantly went away and he was or she was able to throw a party at their parents' house instantly became dramatically more popular in school. They controlled the party. They hosted the party. By having a podcast and inviting your prospective clients onto it, you're hosting the party. And it tends to lead to actual relationship instead of just a sales call.